Good morning, good afternoon, or good night. Welcome to another episode of Rise and Pod with Adrian Conway. And this episode is Athlete to Athlete with Jeff Adler. If you guys don't know who Jeff is, he is a renowned CrossFit Games athlete. He's been several times and has been competing in the sport since 2016. Now, Jeff's journey has been different than many others. He started and didn't have immediate success. Often we find athletes at the top of our sport punch their ticket early and punched it often. Jeff worked at it. Jeff was a student of the sport, and it was really his first competitive endeavor as an individual. Lacking the in-person experience with competition, experience with crowds, and all of these things we explore in our conversation, I will share with you, Jeff has finished first place in the entire world in the CrossFit Open. He's not someone that's just showing up this year to compete at the Atlas Games. He wants to win the Atlas Games, and then he has his visions set for another top five finish at the CrossFit Games. He's done this once before, but it was during that COVID year where only five athletes got to show up in 2020. We relive what that experience was like and how he was often the one found chirping directly at Matt Frazier and the other athletes, just begging someone to not try to beat Matt Frazier overall, but just to try to take some points away in each and every event when they had the opportunity. We talk about his competitive nature and exactly where that comes from and why it's a part of who he is as an athlete. I think you guys are going to really love this episode. With no further ado, here's Jeff. What is up, guys, and welcome to another episode of Athlete to Athlete. And I am honored to be joined by Jeff Adler today. Jeff, what's up, man?
Hi, how are you? I'm feeling great.
I love it. I love to hear that you're feeling great. And I am feeling great myself. You know, I'm going to leave town really shortly here to head off to Minnesota to go do some coaching at the Granite Games. So I am super excited to watch one of my athletes, Chase Merrill, take the floor. And I know that you have got to be super excited for your appearance on the floor in about a week and a half. How are you feeling about the Atlas Games coming up, man?
I can't wait. Like, it's been long. It's been a long, it feels like a long time, like since week one, week two, and now like week three, and then we're week four. Like it just takes a long time before it's our turn to get our chance to qualify. But I mean, it's going to happen anyway. I just have to be ready when it comes.
Absolutely. And there's no question in my mind that you will be ready. I mean, I've been a fan of yours as I've watched you mature throughout the years, right? It seems as though and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems as though you've started, this is your seventh or eighth year competing. Is that right? In the Open, at least.
Yeah, my first was 2016. So 16, 17, 18, 20, 21. Yeah. Sixth year.
Sixth year officially thrown down. And, you know, you've had some home runs, man. You won the CrossFit Open last year, right? You were top 12 or something the year before. And then this year, or no, you were top five the year before. And then like top 12 this year.
In the open. I think second. Did I finish second?
Fifth? So it was fifth.
I don't remember.
I'm sorry. I'm looking at the Open in 2020. You were fifth.
Okay. And then yes.
2021 was the year you won it. And then this year you were still 12th. It's quite remarkable. The amount of fitness that you carry and what it seems to be almost all year round. How did you approach, and we're going to get into conversations about your coach and how you guys work together, but how do you approach this mindset of understanding the process of a season when you're doing things like being almost one of the fittest men in the world as early as the Open?
Yeah, so since I've started to compete, the seasons have changed a lot. So we always were trying to be ready all the time, which is kind of hard to be like year round on, but not impossible. Like if you strategize your year, like it's doable. I think starting from, last year, this year, the season is going to be pretty much the same going on. So it's going to be easier to manage the season and the time off and the time on. And hopefully that'll help performance where it counts, where it really counts. I've never had issues with the Open for some reason. Like it's not stressful. Like you're in your own gym, you're in your own area and with your own stuff. And that makes it a lot easier. And then getting live competition was where I struggled the most because the nerves, the jitters, like the people, like it's just different environment. And it took some time for me to be more comfortable in those situations.
I love that. And I think that's a very different perspective than for myself with my athletic background, man. I'll be honest with you. You're saying like the Open, it was never a problem for me. I'm like, man, the Open felt like someone was pulling out my teeth with no anesthetic. You know, like I'm just, it's something that I wasn't ever really excited for. And I think what you mentioned as the easy or convenient part is certainly true. And for me, it lacked that physical arousal that I really yearned for. You know, I yearned for those butterflies and those jitters. And it's mainly because, you know, I grew up in sport and playing college football, and I really loved a large crowd. It got me so excited. And then if I was standing around and it was like a coach and then a couple of my friends or family, I was like, ah, man, this really makes it hard for me to want to get up and suffer the way I know I need to keep up with fellas like yourself. So it was hard for me to get there mentally, right, to kind of match that physical arousal. So it's interesting that you bring up that different perspective, and I can appreciate that. So what was that with that that leads me into, what was your athletic background prior to starting CrossFit?
And I think that's the issue with me with live competition. I have none.
Okay.
I started CrossFit at 20 years old, and yep, I was just playing sports generally with friends, but never organized sports, never got on a team. Like, so I think the live competition, like the lack of confidence and the lack of performance in live competition comes from the non-existence of my background. Like, so, and that's why I was good in the gym, because that's what I knew. That's what I did. It's the first thing I did. So I'm guessing it comes from there.
Oh, absolutely. That makes 100%, you know, of a correlation in my eyes, at least, to why that would be the case. Now, when you say you started at 20, what got you into the gym in the first place? Were you just trying to get in good shape? What was it?
So it's a friend of mine. We played soccer, played hockey, like a little bit of everything. And then at some point she's like, well, you should try CrossFit. It's fun. And I actually started on a Groupon. So I don't know if you know what it is.
Yes,
but it was five sessions for like $10. So it was ridiculously cheap. So I started CrossFit on that, and then like got through my few sessions and then just got into a gym and kept going.
Well, hey, they did a good job at capitalizing on that Groupon, that coach and gym owner did. Cause I'll tell you what, it doesn't historically work well with people. And I'm sure you see that as well. People come in, they're like, okay, let me get the feel for this. It's cheap fitness, I'll do it. And then the coach is like, well, you know, now this is the real price. And they're like, oh, I'm out of here. You know, I'm out of here immediately. That's really cool that you were drawn to that. Even what can be categorized as, of course, a difficult pursuit when you choose the CrossFit methodology. Were you a big guy that was like, hey, I'm here for the community? Or were you like, I really like to win these workouts? Was it one or the other for you?
At the beginning, it was like CrossFit has a good, it changes your body. And I mean, I was 20 years old. I weighed back then, I weighed what, 160 pounds, 165
wow.
pounds. Started to gain a little bit of mass and see yeah. some definition. And I think that's what, that like, I like sports. I like to look sporty. Like this is at the beginning, that's what it was. And then as soon as I got like good at it, like that came, it became even more fun. Like, it's like, oh, I can chase like that. Cause there was always like a top guy in the gym. And every time I got in the gym, like, what did he do this morning as a time? And then chasing those times and finally beating him or her. It took me what, a year to like get to that top level, like box competitiveness. And like it rolled down from there.
Yeah. I mean, that's awesome. And I think it's safe to say that all of us start with different intentions. I mean, I haven't shared this a ton, but my first exposure to what CrossFit was actually, seeing the movie 300. Now, I don't know if that movie outdates you, Jeff, or you remember what that is,
no,
right?
No.
But it's like dudes looking all jacked. And I was like, I was just finishing up my college football career. And I was like, man, those guys are jacked. What are they doing? Like, really, what are they doing? And it led me to a training cadre called Jim Jones. And then as I started to look into what they did and how they trained, I understood that the founder of this was associated and tied to Greg Glassman throughout their history. And then I looked into Greg, and then I found CrossFit. But I wasn't necessarily looking into the workouts at that point. I was like, wait, there's a CrossFit Games and these guys can compete. And then that drew me in all the way. I was like, it was the year Graham Holmberg had won the CrossFit Games and inched out Rich.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, I, dude, he played football too. Maybe I could do it like he did. So that's what drew me in initially, is I just wanted to be a part of all that. But hey, man, we all like to look good and feel good. That's for sure. And you as a young man finding the training methodology, I think that makes complete sense. So you say you were into it about a year, and all of a sudden you're clearly seeing tremendous gains. Your capacity's rising. You're now catching that fittest person in your community. When did it start to kind of click in your mind? Like, well, I want to really compete at this. And how did that start?
So that was regionals. So regionals was the goal, and it became the goal. So I started doing CrossFit around the Open in 2015-ish. And in the gym I was back then, there was like a little crew that was pretty good, chasing the regionals, almost getting there. And that's how I heard of regionals and everything. So I was trying to be as good as these guys. And then I met Caroline, my coach. And that's, I think, where everything pivoted. Like, she saw potential in me. She was a good coach. She wanted to coach me. I wanted to work hard. And then as soon as we like met and started working together, then we aimed for regionals. Like, the goal was to make it to regionals as fast as we could.
What year was that, Jeff?
That was 2016.
Okay.
So my first year of the Open, I remember I finished 134th in the region, and we had to do top 20. So I was like, oh, I have a shot at this. Like, it is possible. So we put some time and effort into it. 2017, I missed out by 10 spots. That was hard. And that year, I remember they cut down. So we had 20 spots in the East region, and going into 2018, they dropped it to 15 spots. And I was like, well, there goes my chance. Like, if I had one chance, I was going to finish like 21st, and someone that was in the top 20 would go team, and I would get my spot. Like, that was like, for me, what I thought would happen. But I finally did it in 2018. I finished, I think, 8th in the region, and then made it to my first regionals, my first and last one.
Right. Yeah. We know that opportunity shortly got stripped from us there. As things have changed throughout the years, and of course they continue to do, they keep us on our toes. They evolve as we go. But Jeff, it seems as though, you know, you're almost at the top level, a bit of an anomaly. And I say that because I hear stories from athletes. And of course I've gotten to chat with some as I've started this athlete to athlete version of this podcast, where when they get started, they just kind of come in with some dominance, and they punch their ticket to regionals right away, or in their first year, or in, you know, their first couple months of being involved with the methodology or the sport. And yet it was a consistent increase in fitness and learning how to compete for you. And then of course, connecting with your coach and having someone in your life that like had almost probably a bigger vision for you than you had for yourself. Right?
Definitely. Yes.
I love that so much. And then of course I do know a bit of it, but it seems like you guys have a pretty unique relationship. How did this start to flourish and you guys get connected the way that you are?
We met at the gym. She was there, she was coaching. And then it just started very naturally. Like, we trained together. Remember the first workout we did together was DT. She beat me, by the way.
I love it.
And then we met up afterwards, like outside the gym, and it started from there. And then, I don't know, it kind of naturally went from being boyfriend, girlfriend to coach and athlete. And then we had to balance that through our lives, but it's definitely working well. Like, we've been doing this, like Caroline's been my coach since day one. And it's been working really well. I think like the tip of my tongue. The results speak for them for themselves. Like, we've been doing a little bit better every year.
No, absolutely. And I think that's very obvious. That's something that I kind of want to chat with you as we continue to go. And it's interesting that we see this within our sport. You know, we see T and Shane, we see there are a few relationships that also act as coach and athlete. I had Christine Cullenbrander on as one of my first episodes, and her coach is her husband. And so it's certainly unique. And from a perspective of a married man, and my wife has been in my life since I started CrossFit, I'm like, I don't know how these people do it. It's amazing and remarkable to watch their communication together and their patience with one another. because through my years, Jeff, I've learned that even if my wife is coming to a class of mine, I pick my words very wisely in how I cue her or how I challenge her to move faster or whatever it might be. So how have you guys explored that balance with yourselves? Is it like there's almost a different hat that you wear in the gym when you're together, and then when you're at home, it's a different vibe, or is it kind of the same all the time?
No, I think we separate stuff pretty well. Like whatever, when we're in the gym, it's coach and athlete. When we're looking at programming, it's coach and athlete. And then we try as best we can to, when we want like time together as a couple, I try to put CrossFit aside. Like if you mix everything together, it's a recipe for disaster. So I think it's a good thing to like separate stuff as much as we can. Like when we have some time off and we go, so I don't want to go to the gym. I don't want to talk about CrossFit. We're going to get a coffee in a coffee shop and we try to talk about anything else and not like the competitive side or the gym or whatever. It's for sure more difficult as we get closer to competitions. Like when it's on season, then everything gets mixed up a little bit because focus, like the main focus in our lives is for her to be my coach and for me to be the athlete. But as soon as I have the chance to like let go a little bit, like right after the games or right after a competition, take some time off, put the CrossFit thing aside a little bit and focus more on our relationship. And that's where I think the balance needs to lie for now. I mean, it's still not a balanced life. Like it's, if you like, I work out 7 hours a day, like it's not balanced, but we try to, if I get a little time or a moment, like I try to put it aside, and I think that's what makes it work.
That's tremendous, man. And I think, you know, all relationships can relate to some degree, but to have you guys' full life revolve around fitness and specifically CrossFit and be able to find moments of balance, as unbalanced as it may literally be, I'm sure you guys are doing a great job with that. Now, when it comes to your training, and I know that there have been adaptations that you have sought out in order to improve on specifically your endurance and aerobic capacity. Talk to me a little bit about what that's been like the last 2.5 years or so, as you've, in my eyes, you've kind of transformed your athletic, not background per se, but capacity specifically. And it's starting to become pretty evident, I think.
Yeah. I was born strong, I guess. And I think 2019, 2020 was my strongest years, but not my fittest years. And we realized like this is not what we need to do to win the CrossFit Games. You can't be strong and win the CrossFit Games. You have to be strong, but you need a lot of other stuff. And so we just put strength aside a little bit. We still do some like to maintain, but I mean, I haven't PR'd lifts in a while because I'm not chasing those and it's not very important to me.
Sure.
But I am chasing a max rep muscle up. I am chasing a 5K run PR. Like these are the things now that I think if I focus more on, then I get a better rounded athlete. And as a result in a competition, it gives you better placing overall. So yeah, we've focused a lot on it, a lot. And yes, I think like right now, and I've said it many times, I'm like, I don't feel strong. I don't feel as strong as I was. Like there's
sure.
lost confidence, whatever, like call it whatever you want. But I am definitely now less strong than I was a few years back, but I am a lot fitter. So I'm happy with those changes. I wouldn't go back to being strong. Maybe one day when I stop competing, like I'll just try and chase the 405-pound clean and jerk, but that's right. Not for now.
Right. And man, I really think you're bringing gold here for all competitors and even non-competitors that listen and tune into this show that might not have a real understanding of our psychology and approach to the appropriate training stimulus for athletes all year round. I mean, it's remarkable to think that there's athletes like yourself at a very high level in a sport who are literally like, you know, I don't really need to get stronger. People would be like, that's asinine. That's ridiculous. That makes no sense. But in reality, you know, our sport, we are chasing points. And what dictates our points is relevant completely to the field. You know, for example, you could But at this point, if you continue to pursue strength, man, Jeff, you might be clean and jerking 420, right? But that doesn't mean that that increases the 100 point value that you would already have if you just clean and jerk 385. So yeah. Why continue to pursue that? Beat your body up with those types of contractions and loading and know that it actually doesn't reflect itself when it comes to your fitness, because you were already one of the strongest guys. And I think that's an extremely poignant message there to people to really understand. Cause I'm in the same boat. When I think about my athletes, I look at them and I kind of put them in categories and I understand where their strengths and their weaknesses lie. And it's like, okay, where do we maximize their ability to earn points? Even if it's just mm-hmm. in the open, cause I have a few athletes that aren't quite ready for semifinals yet even, right? Or some semifinals athletes that are just looking to see what they got on the floor now, and then maybe a future at the CrossFit Games. But I dial them in and kind of look like, hey, okay, this is a stronger athlete. At this point, we need to really put all of our eggs in our basket with their aerobic capacity and their gymnastics capacity. And that's where we lay down the law, right? That's where our focus is the majority of the year. And then I'm assuming this is the same way for you, Jeff, where now that you're in season, there's of course some touches that you have to put on the barbell to stay sharp enough so that you are able to hit that 90% consistently, or that 88%, so that you know when this complex comes out for you, it can still be a good event, mm-hmm. even though it might not be what it would be if you focused on it all year long.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I've tested the complex already, and some of the weights that the guys put up in the past few weeks are very impressive. And coming from me, like I'm a strong dude. I know what a 370 pound clean and jerk is, and those six reps above 315, 320 is really, really impressive. But for me, like strength pieces like this, the goal for me is to get a top three. Yep. And I'm not chasing the win, but the next event right after that, if it's a 25 minute workout, I'm also chasing the top three. That's the goal. And I think still, like in CrossFit, like if you can hit a 365 clean and jerk, you're golden. Like you don't need much more, like you don't need to change. I think this year we've seen some bigger numbers, but it's still very relevant. Like you don't need the 385, and it's a step forward. And to gain that 20 pounds, or it could be 10 or 5 pounds, it's a lot of work and you have to put a lot of time into it. And for me, the time putting that time in isn't valuable. It's more valuable to do something else.
Yep. And again, I completely agree with you. And I think it's a great point that you're making. It's funny. It takes me back even to what you said just before you alluded to that point, was that it's been a couple of years since you've hit a PR. You know how many CrossFitters are out there saying, man, I'm so upset I haven't PR'd my clean in like 3 months. And you're like, 3 months, really? Give me a break.
3 years. People
like, yo, yeah. And I've been in that boat several times throughout my career as well. And again, it's all about understanding, folks. There's a point of diminishing returns at some point within your strength or your endurance or whatever it is that you're really good at. And then it gives you headlong gains in your fitness when you focus on what you need to work on specifically. Dude, yeah, I think it's so great. So let me ask you then, what are your thoughts this year with the layout of the qualification process? We talked about how it's changed. We talk about how it's been different for us. The last 6 years, man, it's been kind of different throughout your whole career almost each year. What are your thoughts on this year's structure?
So, yeah, I've talked to this with plenty of people. I mean, I think the regional format back in 2018 and previous years, I think it was good, but it wasn't perfect. And it's the same about the qualifying process right now. It's good, but it isn't perfect. For example, having the semifinals in a spread of 4 weeks, I find it's a little bit too long. If we could have it like 3 weeks, like squeeze a little bit more semifinals per weekend and have people qualify a little bit earlier. Cause I do think that the first week have an advantage on the fourth training wise for the games. Having that a little bit like tighter would be nice, but to have the semifinals and to have like the flavor each semifinal like added, and it's not like the same across the board like in regionals times it was all the same six workouts for everybody. Now like the Granite Games, they have their little flavor, the MAC has their flavor, Atlas is going to have their own flavor, and I think that's cool. Like it's fun to see some different stuff, different workouts, but it's also a good thing that CrossFit has those two workouts. In my opinion, it could be three, like half and half, to have a little bit more consistency across the board. But so far, like, I've looked at the programming from each semifinal. The workouts aren't the same, but there is a 20 plus minute workout. There is a 15 minute workout. And I think those are the most important things. Like, you won't get to a competition or a semifinal and have all 5 to 7 minutes, which will qualify a certain type of athlete. No, you have like the 3 minute workout with the rope climb. You have the heavy lift. You have the 15 minute, the 20 minute. So it's, I think the tests are pretty well-rounded. This year, I find it's a good way to qualify. Like, it's a good season. It's not perfect, but it's pretty damn close to what I think athletes want for the future.
I completely agree. I echo what you're mentioning about the 3 and 3 too. I think I mentioned this on one of the CrossFit Games podcasts that Chase Ingram and I recorded, where I was just saying, like, I think it'd be refreshing to see a lift, a short time domain, and a long time domain, all from CrossFit HQ. And then you let these events get a bit more creative with that 8 to 12 or 8 to 15 minute window, where we know you can come with couplets and triplets and kind of stay within the bubble, but be creative movement wise and be creative with odd objects or whatever it is they want to do. So I think that would be the next step in standardizing a little bit more evenly, because I love that they get their own flavor, but some of them, you know, it's just they have a strong flavor. Some of them do, right? Where it's like they lean a little bit short or they lean a little bit long and you can feel it. But it ends up being that, and we kind of lean this way all the time, that the cream rises and that we get the fittest to show up, right? With that being said, and you having the experience that you've got now with having success in the Open and winning the Open last year, do you think momentum is different at all for you this year going into the semis? Like, was it a goal of yours to come out and win the Open again? Like, where was your psychology going into this year's season?
I think I gained the most momentum at Rogue. That was a big pivoting point for me. We got into the Open with absolutely no, like, I had to be top 7,000. That's awesome. It. Like, there is no, even last year, like, I won, I don't want to say by accident, but we didn't plan on winning. Like, I was first after the two first weeks, I was like, oh shit. Okay. Now we're trying. Like,
yes,
we're going to try and win. But this year, like, I saw the scores that the guys were putting up, and I'm like, these dudes are redoing the workouts, and I am not redoing the workouts. I had no intention of redoing workouts. So, I mean, the Open, it's like the first test, just do it, go through. Quarterfinals, same approach, just do the workouts. I think it's the Open this year, the programming was different than the previous years. I didn't particularly enjoy the workouts, but I mean, it's workouts. Then quarterfinals, these were more exciting, more fun. And I think that's what it's going to look like in the future. Not an easier Open, but it's going to be different than the quarters. Just the further along you go in the season, like, the more it's going to look like competitive CrossFit, I guess.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, the goal this year was to shine at semis and shine at the games. Like, everything before is just, it's a stepping stone. You just go through it and it's all good. So yeah, hopefully, like, we've worked hard enough for the semis, and then because it's close to the games, like, it's training for the games through the semis, and then doing the best performance I can at the games.
That's great. And you mentioned Rogue specifically, Jeff. What was it about that experience at the Rogue Invitational this year where you did take third and got onto the podium there? What was it about that experience where you were like, you know, we're going in the direction we want to go?
So that was such a special event. I don't know what happened, honestly, and I've been trying to figure out how to recreate that same feeling. I was just flying. Like, I could do whatever I wanted on the floor. If I wanted to start my set just before the other guy, I could. Like, it was just, I was in total control of what I can do. And I think I was fit enough to rely on that and just, like, my body can do it. We'll just do it and it's fine. The events were awesome. I think the level of stress is different too. Like, when you're in season, like, semifinals is going to be soul crushing nerves. Like, cause it's a qualifying event. Like, if you're not in the top five, it's done. Your season's finished. So that one, I think the semis is going to be the worst one. And hopefully I can get to the games and be relaxed, composed, and just do my game plan, do my own stuff, stay in my own lane. And that is what I do in the open, and I'm able to win the open. So if I can do the same on the games floor, I don't say I can win the games, but I can at least go back in the top five. So that's what we're aiming for.
That's great. And that was going to be one of my next questions, is how you basically establish, you know, expectations, because I think it's a real fine line for competitors to say, hey, I'm going to go out and I want to win this event. But also understand that there's things that you can't control, and effort, your attitude, those are things that you can, and then still being able to look at the field and like, okay, hey, you realistically top five, anything less than that, we didn't control what we could control. Right. So I think that's awesome. It's cool to hear about that. And it seems like, man, you know, when I think back to like even the year 2020, which we all know was an odd year, but you were there, you finished fifth. It was the year where only a few athletes got the chance to go to, you know, the ranch and throw down. But I remember this very chippy attitude coming from you when it comes to competition. And I loved it, man. I mean, that's the type of stuff that fires me up and makes me want to throw down myself. But it's like, you just wanted someone to take Matt off his pedestal. Like every event, you're like, okay, so which one of us is going to do it? Let's make it happen. It's about time, right? So I want to ask just specifically, like, where did that come from? Has that always been how you competed? Because to me, it adds an element of fun there that I think sometimes lacks in our sport.
So that was such a special year. I'm so glad I was part of it. And, you know, like going into it, even at 40 competitors, no one could beat Matt. So imagine at five with 15 to 25 point difference between placings. Like the first place was 100 and then second was 75. So if he wins or gets second on all the workouts, we're doomed. Like it's impossible. It's impossible to get back from it. So I was like, I mean, Justin, you can run fast. Just go run, like win the loop. Just beat him. Like I know I can't. I can't on this event. I can't. Mm-hmm. But maybe you can. Like, let's go beat him. Try it. I was happy I beat him on the total.
The total,
I did my best. I think he did his best, and by the end, like I won. Sam beat him on the swim and bike event. Like, but we were going in this, and I knew that Matt was gonna just destroy us. And I just wanted for him not to win all the workouts. I didn't want to make it so easy for him to win the CrossFit Games that year. It's nothing against Matt. Like, what he did is special. And I competed, and I like that year, I saw up close, real close, how fit he was. And it was just ridiculous. Like, so good. And I mean, I wish he would still compete, because I think he could still win. But yeah, that was really special. And it's not because I was throwing hate at Matt. It's just like, let's try and make it hard for him and push ourselves where we can and where we know that we can grab some points from him. Unlucky for us, like he almost won all the events, but whatever, like it's cool.
Hey man, listen, you got to do what you got to do, and you got to do what you can when you can. I think that it's refreshing again to see that attitude. And real competitors know it's never throwing shade. It's just, it's a little bit of fun. It's jaw jacking back and forth and understanding that everybody's giving their all the time. So it's an element of fun, you know, when we get out there and get to do our very best. Now, when I think about Matt and I think about his ability, you know, his athletic background left him in a place, not that to compare the two of you directly, but he came into the sport strong and strong enough. And that put him in a very unique advantage when it came to opportunity to focus the meat of his training and his years around building his aerobic capacity, his local muscle endurance, and of course the gymnastics skill set. And he's an athlete. I mean, I've watched him rip off a backflip at a random demand anytime, right? So he's got the ability to learn things quickly. But is there anything that you've taken from watching his dominance or knowing, hey, Matt's a strong athlete too, maybe I can have that type of success if I do X, Y, and Z to shore up some of these weaknesses that I have? Is there anything that specifically you saw in him that you wanted to emulate or mimic?
I think just I don't think we really know what Matt did truly in his training days, which is fine. But I have the feeling that everything was very, very meticulously calculated and precise. And the more I train, like let's say in the past year and a half, we've been trying to be precise as we can. And I think that's the main reason why, like his body was literally a machine. If he told it to run at this pace, it ran at that pace.
Yep.
And if he asked it to do this, it would do that. So I think that's what made him as great as he was, is everything was planned out and he knew how much time a workout would take before even taking the floor. And so that's what we're going to aim for. Be really, really precise in training, be really precise in competition. And then at the end, I mean, it's genetics at some point is going to stop someone from being great or someone to be great. And I think at some level, like he had just a great genetic and he was just better than everyone
at that moment. Yeah, absolutely. And I would never take that away from genetics. Listen, there are athletes who approach me and say, hey, Adrian, you know, I want to go to the CrossFit Games. And I'm like, hey, you might need to go pick a new pair of parents. I'm going to be honest with you, you know, like, and it's very rare that I would just pop off and respond that way to someone, but it's truth, right? We know that there's genetics that allow us to have the recoverability or the frame even necessary to be a successful CrossFit athlete. And I think a lot of what Matt really did learn came from Henshaw, right? We talk about Henshaw. Henshaw's a friend of mine who I worked with when I was with Brute. And man, the endless amount of conversation that I've had with Chris that blew my mind, bouncing ideas off of one another. And I learned so much from him, even with what I apply with my athletes today, with intervals, with training local muscle endurance alone and so many things. And I noticed that you've been paying attention to Chris. You've been trying to learn some things. You sat in on one of his courses. Was there anything there that was just, you know, really eye-opening to you that you could put directly into application?
It's scary how much knowledge he has. I did the course last weekend, so I just did it. And it's just mind blowing how things you don't think about, like it, or you just don't know. Like I just didn't know. And then now I know. So, and that's, I think, what's the most dangerous. And yes, Matt did work a lot with Henshaw, and like the year that Matt didn't do great on the run, he came back the year after and won the run. It wasn't a mistake. Like
not at all.
He knew and worked for it, and he worked with the right people to get there. And that's, I think it's a game changer. Like to have someone, to have coaches, to have other athletes that train with you that know these things, and you can train better. And if you train better, then you compete better.
Absolutely, man. There's no doubt about that. And that's the ultimate goal, is to make things more efficient, to make the gains a more steady appearance within your training, whatever that looks like that you're pursuing, whether it's strength, endurance, or gymnastics. But dude, your competition day is coming up quickly. Yep. I'm super excited to watch you take the floor. I know you and Pat and Alex and many others. I mean, look, the men's field at the Atlas Games is stacked, and I'm so excited to be there. I can't wait to see you there. Hopefully I'll see you in the back. I'll be hanging out as much as I can with the time just to check in on you guys and make sure that I'm doing the best I can up in the commentary booth to make it exciting for people and try to share as much information as I can while they're watching you guys put up some ridiculous times and numbers. But dude, I want to thank you so much, Jeff, for joining me. Best of luck, man. You know, I know that you're going to do your very best and that you're peaking at just the right time to not just perform at the Atlas Games, man, but get your mind and body right for the CrossFit Games that'll take place in Madison. So thanks so much. Wish you the best of luck. And thanks for joining us here on Athlete to Athlete, brother.
Thank you.